So how are your holidays? Did you have happy holidays? Was it a good time? Christmas? New Year's? We had happy holidays in our household. And I hope that every one of you had happy holidays. We see in the text today that Ezra and Nehemiah desired that the people have happy holidays. That's what I want to teach on today, because this 8th chapter can be very confusing when we don't see and understand the Jewish calendar, when we don't understand various feasts that took place in the calendar year. We see that the wall has been completed way back in November, December of that year. Nehemiah was called by his brother and others to come to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. Several months went by. Finally, around March, April, he came after asking permission of the King Artaxerxes. They started building. There was much opposition. They, by God's grace, finished the building of the walls in 52 days, which was around September. And after that, the people gathered together and they asked, as we see in the scriptures, for the leadership, for Ezra and Nehemiah, to read the law. And they read from the book of the law of God clearly. And they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. The walls had been rebuilt, but the lives of the people still needed work. Spiritually, they were still broken. Spiritually, they were thirsty. Spiritually, they were still in darkness. And what happened was that God was reforming the people and He was moving in their hearts. They're the ones that asked the priests, the Levites, Ezra, who is a scribe, and Nehemiah, to read the Word of God. And we find a lesson here in how God reforms people through the Word of God. How God will bring new life to people through the Word of God. How God will shine His light on people who live in darkness through the Word of God. How God will heal people through the Word of God. And as the readings went on, day after day, the people reacted to what they heard. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." Interesting reaction to what was being read. The people began to mourn and weep. Why? "For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law." What were they reading that would cause that? And then the leadership, verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" What is happening here in this worship service as the Word of God is being preached and taught? People are crying, they're weeping, and the leadership is stop. You know, was Ezra trying to soften the word? Was he trying to tickle their ears? Oh, don't feel bad. Be happy. What's going on here? Well, when we explore this, we're going to find out how Ezra and Nehemiah brought about a change in people's hearts so that they could celebrate the Jewish holidays the way they were supposed to be celebrated. The main idea of this message is that if you want to have happy holidays, you have to make your holidays holy days. And that is done by putting Jesus Christ at the center of your holidays. Let me repeat that. The main idea of this message is that if you want to have happy holidays, you have to make your holidays holy days by putting Jesus Christ at the center of your holidays. Or otherwise, you get so caught up in all of the holiday stuff, hoping that it's going to bring happiness and joy and peace and love, and it becomes such a stressful period that there are people that can't wait for the holidays to be over. They were hoping, they were expecting something great was going to happen, and when it didn't meet their expectations, they feel about the same way as a Christmas tree laying out on a curb in the snow waiting for the trash men to pick it up. Well, that's over with. Let's move on. It served its purpose. And now we have to go on looking for something else that will bring us happiness. It was nice while it lasted, but hey, it's over. The holidays are over. What we see here, the leadership in Jerusalem was reforming the way the people celebrated their holidays. And what they were doing is they're using the word to reform them so that they would put their holidays to be holy days. First point is, Ezra and Nehemiah made the holidays into holy days through expository preaching. They read the word and they explained the word of God. They preached it. They just took it verse by verse, the book of the law, the first five books, verse by verse. They read it and then they explained it. And the reason for doing that is over a period of time, you'll remember that the Jewish people were in captivity in Babylon. Their lives had changed. Even when they returned, which was about a century before this was read, they came back with Zerubbabel and they rebuilt the temple. But they still weren't back into the law, the way the law was expressed. A lot of their kids had no idea of the holidays and the significance of the holidays. They didn't understand what the law meant. And even though there were attempts to teach it and whatnot, it fell short. So there was a need for reformation, and that's why they went to the Word of God and they preached it and they explained it. They didn't talk about themselves personally. They talked about the Word of God. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. A key in understanding the eighth chapter is the seventh month, Tishri, September, October in our calendar. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. Which blows up that myth that if you could say it in 20 minutes, you don't need to go for 40. They were interested in what God had to say to them. So they spent hours listening to the Word of God. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the law of to the book of the law. Verse 8, they read from the book from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest, and the scribes, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn and weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Because the word was proclaimed and it was taught, it was explained and it was applied to the people. Why were the people mourning and weeping? For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Obviously, they were convicted about some wrongdoing or some sin or some failure as they were listening to the word of God. As they read the word, they realized they had not been following it. And it wasn't the reason they were punished. And wasn't that the reason they were punished by God in the first place? They did not follow the law of God. The prophets came, and we've learned from Jeremiah and Isaiah, Daniel, the prophets came and spoke about the idolatry and how the nation had become idolatrous and worshiping the gods, the false gods of the secular. And that's why God punished them. So these people are hearing a word about God's holiness and about sin and about how they're supposed to live. And they got convicted. Hey, this is what God says, but this is not what I'm living. And God just punished us with 70 years. We just were rebuilding these walls that were destroyed by the Babylonians. Our temple was destroyed. All because we did not obey God's word. And here we are going down the same path now. And is God going to punish us? So they wept for their sins. They mourned over their sins, that they had deviated from what God's will was for them. All right, that's understood. But why did the leaders then say, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing already, for this day is holy to the Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." What passage were they reading to get to that? The leaders were not making up directives for the people. They were actually following the law, following the word of God. And that's why they stopped them and said, "Hey, no more grieving. Rejoice. Rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength." We look further in this passage, verse 13, "And on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law." We see that on the first day, everybody, men, women, children, anybody who could understand the word, were called together to hear the word of God. But here on the second day, only the men, the heads of the fathers' houses, came together to study the scripture. Why is that? Why only men? And this is where the timetable, the Jewish calendar, where the law of God comes in to play and to help clarify what's actually going on here. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose. At the feast of unleavened bread, which is in the springtime, and at the feast of weeks, which is a little later, and the feast of booths. It was mandatory. All male Jews were to appear before the Lord at these holidays. And the scriptures say they shall not appear before the Lord empty handed. They had to bring a gift, an offering. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. OK, so the first day everybody could come in here. The second day was just the men. The law says, so we're gradually starting to see here that there's a holiday time here. One of the three holidays. One of the three holy days. They're reading about. And the leadership says to the men, we've got to do Bible study on this. We want to teach you further. And we see in Nehemiah 8:14, and they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. All right, the feast of the seventh, the feast of booths, also called the feast of tabernacles, also called the feast of ingathering. It occurred in the seventh month, the month called Tishri, September, beginning of October. So that's why the men were called to study. Now, why were the people weeping? Well, they were weeping because the month before, the seventh month, the sixth month, obviously, is called the month of repentance. And they got to that part in the law and they started to realize that, hey, in this month, this is what we are to remember, that Israel committed two very grave sins in this month, way back. In this month is when they constructed the golden calf when Moses was on the Mount of Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. The people were making a calf, an idol. And when the people heard this, They were upset. And they repented. They also remembered, and this is where the teaching comes in, that this month, the sixth month, was also the month when the spies that Moses sent into the promised land to spy out the land and to come back with a report so that they could proceed to take the promised land. You know the story. The spies came back with a bad report. Oh, yeah, it's everything that God said it was. Look here. Look at this cluster of fruit, these grapes. But, you know, there's giants in that land. We cannot take that land. And they turned away. And that generation was punished for its faithlessness by wandering in a wilderness for 40 years, and they died there. So in the sixth month, the month of repentance, the people are identifying with the sins of their forefathers, and they're crying out to God for mercy. We have sinned. Now, Tishri is the seventh month that has three of the highest holy days in the Jewish calendar. Rosh Hashanah, the new year. It's a 2-day celebration on the first and second of Tishri. That's when they were reading here in Nehemiah. First 2 days. This was specified, this new year was specified in Leviticus 23:23 to 32. on the 10th day of Tishri was the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the most important holiday. This holiday was set aside for the people to afflict themselves in order to atone for the sins of the past year. This day was a person's last day to appeal to God for forgiveness, to demonstrate one's repentance and to make amends. It was instituted in Leviticus 16:29-30. It was a day when the high priest offered numerous sacrifices throughout the day to atone for the sins of the priests, the temple, and the people. It was a day when two goats were chosen, one to have its blood shed, the other to have the sins of the people transferred to its head and then sent out into the wilderness. The second goat was called the scapegoat. The Day of Atonement reminded the people of their sinfulness and need for atonement. As they read the word, they realized their sinfulness and remorse, and the people mourned and wept. Do you understand how their holidays affected them? How the word of God affected them? Now, why did the leaders say, stop this? It's a time of rejoicing. Because the third high holiday in Judaism was the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering. On the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out. They were instructed in the word and they responded to the word with obedience. So the people went out and brought them these trees and so forth, and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square of the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to that day the people of Israel had not done so. And there was great rejoicing. The Feast of Booths is called Sukkot in Hebrew. And it goes from the 15th to the 22nd of that seventh month. 5 days before was the Day of Atonement. On the first and second of the month, it was the Jewish New Year. And we find in the reading of Leviticus 23, the Lord instructing Moses for the people. And for 7 days, the Feast of Booths was to be celebrated. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. The Feast of Tabernacles or Booths was also called the Feast of Ingathering. It was in the autumn when all the harvest had been brought in and stored, and the people rejoiced. It was like a Thanksgiving day, rejoicing and glad and expectant of what God had done and what He was going to do. The Feast of Booths was also called the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'll explain that just in a second. The Feast of Booths and Feast of Tabernacles reminded the people of what their ancestors lived in, booths, from the time of the Exodus until the Promised Land. And they were to remember where they came from, and they were to remember how God worked in their lives, and how God protected them, how God provided for them. And they were to rejoice in the Lord. The people went out and they obeyed the word that was spoken and taught to them. and they had happy, holy days. You see, what the leadership did is they put God at the center of a holiday and made it a holy day, which God hadn't intended from the beginning. It was God-centered. It was biblically based. They followed the word of the Lord, and that's how they framed their holiday celebrations. It was all about God. You know, we'll ask each other, hey, what did you get for Christmas? They would ask the question, how much glory did you give to God during the holidays? Oh, was I supposed to? I thought I just filled out my gift list and this is what I got. See the difference? One is God-centered, the other is man-centered. The Jews were looking at God and they were celebrating their holidays according to what the scriptures said. And they built these booths. And just imagine thousands of people coming into Jerusalem, building booths on the roofs of houses in vacant lots. And the whole countryside was filled with tents and booths. You know, it was like a campground. For 7 days. And that's where they lived. That's where they ate. That's where they studied the word. And every day they would go into Jerusalem and they would sacrifice and they would worship and they would sing and they would dance and they'd be blowing trumpets. There was this great joy. Look at God's faithfulness to His people. There were so many sacrifices. They had to bring hundreds of priests into the temple to assist in all these sacrifices. Time doesn't allow us to go into all the details, but it was incredible what was taking place here. Now, during the Feast of Booths, there were two ceremonies that stood out. One was the ceremony where water was taken by a priest from the Pool of Siloam, put in a golden pitcher and poured at the base of the altar where the sacrifices were made. The other ceremony was at night where they had four huge candelabras in the temple area, and they filled it with oil and they lit them up. And the light was so bright, it just illuminated the entire temple area, which was quite huge. This occurred in a full-blown way on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was on this day that Jesus, you fast forward to Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles, we see this in John 7 and in John 8, makes two of the greatest declarations that he has ever made at that time to the Jewish people. And it became a real source of controversy. In John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." See what he was doing? Well, the priests were taking the pitcher and filling it with water, pouring it out. He comes along and says, "You want to see the real truth? Look to me. If you're thirsty spiritually, come to me. And from me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given. That second ceremony in the temple courtyard at night with the illumination of the candelabra, Jesus again in John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world." You're looking around at all the illumination of the white buildings and all of this magnificence here in the temple, but "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A light would come, a light so bright that it would outshine even the glorious illumination of the temple at Sukkot. Isaiah spoke of the enlarging of the nation and the increase of joy, the joy of the harvest, because a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, from the prophet Isaiah 9. His rule, we are told, will expand and cover the whole earth and will never cease. He will bring the great harvest of the nation. Jesus is a light shining in the darkness. Do you see how you take the holiday and how the pattern of Reformation took place, where God became the center of the holiday? The observation of the holiday was according to the Word of God. It was a holy day. But then Jesus comes along and he specifies, this is all about me. This is what the Feast of Tabernacles was pointing to. It was pointing to the day that I have come to pour out living water upon all who believe, to give light to all who are living in darkness. Come, believe in me. You can understand why there was such a negative reaction by the Jewish leaders during his day. But what we take away from this passage today is that religious holidays are happy holidays when they are observed as holy days. At the center of holy days is God and His Word. As Christians, it's not enough just to acknowledge God in our holy days. We are to acknowledge Jesus Christ in our holy days, because all of the Old Testament is pointing, all roads lead to Jesus. They're all types focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today we come to this communion table, and it serves the same purpose as the Jewish holidays, in that it causes us to remember that Jesus Christ had His body broken and His blood shed for the remission of our sins. That salvation is not something that we create on our own or that we achieve on our own. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone, all for the glory of God alone. And this is a reminder of God's love for us, His sacrifice in sending His Son to die for us, His broken body, symbolized in the bread, His shed blood, symbolized in the cup, cause us to go back to God. Now, if you don't put Christ at the center of communion, it's going to be an empty ritual. Dead. Okay, so we had communion today. That means service went longer. And there's no renewal. There's no transformation. There's no new life. There's no refreshment. There's no thanksgiving in what Christ has done. It's just a dead ritual. But when we focus on Christ and we observe the Lord's table as the Scriptures tell us, and this was manifested this morning earlier as Pastor Ben prayed and led us in a confession prayer, we are to examine ourselves before we take the elements of communion. We are to confess our sins to the Lord. Well, that's happened today in this service. We're following the Scriptures as to how we are to observe this ordinance. And when we do it properly, there will be transformation and renewal. There will be forgiveness of sin. There will be a restoration in our relationship with God. The weight of sin will be lifted up. And there'll be great joy in the Lord. Now, if that's not happening in your life, you've got to ask yourself, why not? Why is it just eating bread and drinking cup and we're out of here? Something's missing, isn't there? That's part of the examination. As we come to this table this morning, brothers and sisters, let us come with our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. This is His table. All right? He has invited us to this table. let us come. You don't need to be a member of this church, but you need to be a member of Christ's church. You need to have been born again by the Spirit of the Lord and baptized in accordance to God's word. And you're welcome at this table to partake of these elements. Let's take a moment as we prepare to ask ourselves, what does this ritual really mean to me? And is Christ at the center of my worship here? And is the cross something I'm going to meditate on? Am I going to confess my sins? And if we do, God will do a work of grace in us. The ordinance of communion is nothing more than a living sermon. God works through His Word and He works through this ordinance. So everyone is invited who's a believer in Christ to partake of this, but to partake of it in a worthy fashion.